This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'm going to give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. If you would like to contact me, you can do so either through the website or by regular mail. And remember, the website does have this program as well as a weekly meditation on it. You might find re-listening to the program to be helpful, and you can also pass it on to others. And the meditation hopefully will also be an encouragement and an instruction, something that instructs you and encourages you as well. Now, today we want to continue our journey through Genesis. We aren't dealing with every verse in the book of Genesis, but we're trying to deal with the overall picture and the overall story so that we can see how it illustrates New Testament truths that are given to us. And one of those truths that we need to have illustrated is the truth of the new birth from John chapter 3. Or John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so we need that new birth illustrated, and I think that's illustrated for us in Jacob's Genesis 28 experience when he was fleeing from Esau, and he saw God, saw the angels ascending and descending into heaven on a ladder, and he realized that he was in the very presence of God that night. And God made him a promise that night, a promise that he would keep him wherever he went, and that ultimately his descendants would be as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore, as numerous as the stars that are in the skies, which is the same promise that had been made to Abraham originally. So through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that promise has been fulfilled. And of course, in a spiritual sense, it's fulfilled because through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came the Messiah, and those who trust in him are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, even though we know that from the standpoint of Scripture, it's a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So we see the illustration of the new birth here in Genesis 28. And now when we come to Genesis 32, Jacob has been at least 20 years in Syria, and he's been doing things kind of his own way, in his own strength. It's the old Jacob that's still working, and he has managed to do selective breeding so that he can obtain his own flock. He's taking care of Laban's flock, but he has an agreement with Laban that certain of the animals that are born will be his if they're a certain color of a certain quality, and he makes sure through selective breeding that most of the animals turn out to be what has been promised him. And so he's now fleeing from Laban because Laban and his family feels that they have been robbed. And after he flees from Laban, we read last time how that Laban caught up with him, and they made an agreement together that they wouldn't hurt each other, and they went their separate ways. But now Jacob has to face Esau, because Esau is the one, the brother, that he robbed of his birthright. He took the blessing that belonged to Esau by claiming to be Esau when his father asked him, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am Esau." And in fact, he was Jacob, and he had goat skins on his hands, and he had Esau's clothes on, so that his blind father was not able to distinguish between Esau and him. He's got to meet Esau now. And so in this passage, we're not going to see the new birth illustrated, but we're going to see the consecration of a Christian illustrated. And with that in mind, I want to read Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, which says, Paul says to the Romans, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we look at Romans chapter 12, that's been written to the saints at Rome. They're already saved, and now they're being convinced or admonished or beseeched or begged to make this consecration to the Lord. We don't get saved by what we're doing for God. We get saved by what God has done for us. We trust that, but once we find out what God has done for us, there's something we can do. And what we can do is we can present our bodies as living sacrifices. We can submit ourselves to the Lord. We can turn away from our worldly ambitions and seek the will of the Lord and the ambition that he has for our life, and we can be used of him and for him. And this is an experience that for Jacob took place at least 20 years after his initial introduction to the Lord. And it's not an experience that happens only once. It can happen sometimes over and over again. And so when we look at Jacob, he is now under stress because of his concern about Esau. And when he makes all the preparations he can make to protect his family, he prays. And in Genesis 32 and verse 9, we read, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all thy truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." And then he reminds God of the promise he's made. "And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So now we see Jacob praying, and that's usually what happens when we come to that point where we're finally going to submit ourselves into the hands of God. I know we sing sometimes, "I surrender all." And I've often said that we make liars of ourselves, because I don't suppose there's any of us that have really surrendered all, but we should surrender all. And there is a point of surrender in our spiritual experience. I know that logically that point of surrender should come the moment we're saved, but often we are still self-willed after we're saved, and we find that we have to have an encounter with God and an encounter with danger to be reminded that we can't save ourselves eternally, and we can't save ourselves practically, but the Lord can. And when we make this commitment, this consecration, when we are willing to present our bodies as living sacrifices, dying to self so that we can live to God, when we are willing to do that, things go a whole lot smoother, and God then is able to use us for his glory. But you'll notice that it starts with prayer, and it starts with being humble and recognizing that we don't deserve God's mercies, but we've got many of them. Then we drop down to Genesis 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone and wrestled with a man, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, and that man appears to be God himself. And when he, that is Jacob, saw that he prevailed not against him, or that is when he, that is God, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And here's the confession. So he starts by praying for blessing and reminding God of his promise. But now he's alone with God, and he wrestles with God till the breaking of the day. And as he wrestles with God, he has to do this alone. He is forced to confess his sin. To us, when he says, "I am Jacob," that's meaningless. But for Jacob, that's saying, "I'm a liar, I'm a supplanter," because that's what the name meant. And that's what Jacob did to his brother Esau. And when his father had asked him his name, he says, "I am Esau," but now he says, "I am Jacob." And in saying, "I am Jacob, I am the supplanter," he's admitting that that's basically the life he's been living with Laban for that 20 years in Syria as well. But now his name is going to be changed because there's going to be a change in his walk. Instead of walking by faith, he's going to walk by sight. And the Lord says, "Thy name shall no more be Jacob, but Israel." Israel means prince of God. "For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." So now he's no longer going to have to say, "I am a liar." He can say, "I am a prince." Notice the identity we have when we're in Christ. We're children of God. We're not children of wrath. We're children of the King. We too are princes with God if we're truly saved. And we need to recognize that identity for encouragement in times of trial. And he says, Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for he says, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." But in doing this, God touched the sinew of his thigh, and it says that it changed his walk as he wrestled with God. And the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. And so when he wrestled with God, he had his thigh touched. Genesis 32:25. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, our walk will be changed. Jacob was saved, I believe, back in Genesis 28. But this is where his walk really changes. And I know we say that if a person is saved, they should immediately be able to live a Christian life. But sometimes it takes a long time to really get rid of all of the old habits and all the old problems, and to do that in the power of God and not in the power of pride or self, and to really understand the identity we have in Christ and the power that we have in Christ. And so, as we look at this passage now, 20 years later, Jacob makes a consecration because he is wrestling with God alone over a problem that he caused himself 20 years earlier. And so while Jacob had the right desire when he wanted the blessing and when he wanted the birthright, and while he had the right desire, he went at it the wrong way. And how often we do that. We go at things in our way and in the power of the flesh rather than in God's way and in the power of the Spirit. And so today I hope you have not only come to know the Lord, but that you have come to a point after you've known the Lord where you've consecrated your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is our spiritual worship, acceptable unto Him. That is where a true blessing is found. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy blessing upon our listeners and upon all that we have said this morning that is true and scriptural and a blessing to Your people. Bless thy word. We ask for thy mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.